Okay, we may as well go ahead and get started. For many of you, this is going to be close to one of the last courses that you'll be taking here. Everyone has to do at least one senior project course before they graduate, and many of you will have to do two. And you're going to find this is a completely different kind of course than all the courses that you have taken before. A major component of this course will be an emphasis upon technical design. What is it? And how is it actually viewed in industry? And we're going to have a lot of you actually talking about your own design experiences. A number of you have had very good experiences on co-ops. And we're going to be scheduling presentations on those before you will be required to do any presentations. But what I'm going to do is basically go through some of the highlights on the web page. Right now, the web page is still a work in progress. The stuff towards the beginning of the semester is pretty much in final form, although we're still adjusting the grade formula a little bit, and I'll talk about that. What you will primarily want to use is the website for the course, and you can use that URL. I've emailed it out to those of you that were on the course list as of about 2 weeks ago. For those of you who just signed up or have been registering, Gesundheit, you can use that URL up there. You can also directly access it through Blackboard if you prefer doing it that way. In terms of general information, the big thing is usually contact information. Most of you know where to find me. Email is very good to get a hold of me. And actually, a good time to get me for out-of-class meetings is especially before this class. Typically, the 11 to 12 slot is very, very good. And afternoons, I tend to be available, but they have this horrible thing that they have faculty meetings and all of this other kind of stuff, which uses up a lot of time in the afternoon. So I tend to be a little harder to find. Bob, you want to stand up and say hello?
Well, my name is Bob Dura. As Frank goes through all of the web page information, you're going to see a great deal of emphasis on things of non-technical nature. So you can see who I am. My reason for existence is the non-technical portion. I come from industry. I've got a great deal of experience from industry, and I would like to share a lot of that with you because there's a very, very serious lack of information that students, brand new engineering students walking out with their degrees, that they do not have, that they need to have, and we'd like to expand this course so that it includes those items that you probably haven't had any exposure to unless you've worked as an apprentice or an off semester job. Then maybe you have had some. We're going to spend some time talking about teamwork. These are all items that any good-sized company spends a great deal of training dollars on. So sooner or later, you're going to run into this. We're trying to make it sooner rather than later. We'll talk next week about teamwork. We'll spend a great deal of time talking about how you should be managing your projects. In fact, how we want you to manage the projects. It's an emphasis that's going to be put on senior projects so that in your minds, do not think of this as being an exercise in a lab environment followed up by some kind of a quickie report. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about running a project like you would experience it when you get out of here. When you're in industry and when somebody is looking over your shoulder and saying, how are you spending our funds? So we're going to emphasize the professional side of managing projects. We're going to talk about other things like leadership. We're going to talk about your communication style. A large number of you do write well. Not enough of you, however, do. We're going to try to improve that. We're going to spend quite a bit of effort both with external guest speakers as well as myself on the subject of ethics. It's a major deal, people. You can see it in the newspapers daily. We have a governor that right now is in trouble because of his ethical approach to life. It transcends the engineer's abilities. It transcends what you're going to be doing in the office. It has to do with your integrity. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that and asking for you to do a paper on it also. There will be also subheadings underneath those that I mentioned. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about things of a non-technical nature that you need to know before you graduate.
I think that's pretty important. What's going to happen, or at least we hope it'll happen, if you're going to continue in engineering, I know many of you are also thinking about dreaded things like that MBA or maybe going to med school or something different. But if you stick in engineering, it turns out that the alumni did a survey, and approximately one-third to a little bit more of the alums are vice presidents, CEOs, stuff like that, that started companies. In other words, they've been very, very successful in business with engineering companies. If you go on just even for a master's in engineering, what often is going to happen is as soon as you get that master's, you're going to become an engineering manager. Some of you are probably thinking about the MEM program, Masters in Engineering and Management. That's what it's all about. What you have to do in industry is you have to be responsible for your own technical knowledge, but you also have to be responsible for the organization of that of others that are reporting to you. Very few of you will actually do an entire project yourself. And in fact, we're going to look at some examples of large organizations later on. For example, when we talk about NASA and how they've, for example, done the space program. Now, you'll sort of see this duality throughout the course. We're going to be talking about the technical aspect of design as well as the non-technical aspects. All of these things, ethics, et cetera. I'll give you an outline of this in just a bit. That's even shown in what I recommend as the two top references. Notice that we don't have anything here for you to rush out and buy. If you want to rush out and buy those books, you're free to do so. If you can find this one, let me know. As far as I know, it's out of print. However, at least as far as I understand fair use exclusion under the Copyright Act, I have Xeroxed sections of these books and papers. They are on the website. They are behind a password, since one of the big things, and we'll talk about copyrights later in the course, what is a fair use exclusion for a class? Actually, we'll even talk about how copyright relates to reverse engineering and stuff like that. But we're going to be giving you reading assignments out of these. Hornstein, that's the first reference. He's actually an electrical engineer, I believe in Virginia. He's published a bunch of books on things like microprocessor hardware design, digital signal processing, and stuff like that. And that's where he talks about how you actually design. And we'll even be doing a design example in here in about 2 weeks. The second one, this is a book that I just accidentally came across through someone calling me on the telephone. Senior Design Experience Lessons for Life. It's a complete documentation of teaching the senior project course at the University of California, Riverside, okay, which is not a bad school. And they have a lot of interesting stuff, including some detailed chapters on intellectual property, copyright, but more importantly, how to write a good technical report. And we'll be talking about those, again, through the course. As I said, that stuff is online, and I'll show you more about that. I want to explain this is just sort of the background about senior project. One of the big things is, at many other schools, this stuff is called capstone. For those of you who are in SAGES, capstone also is a very big deal there. From the viewpoint of the SAGES capstone, and if anyone in here is using this course for SAGES capstone requirement, you can just let me know after class, but mostly that concentrates on oral presentations and written work. Now, big thing in this course, team projects. The exception will be the co-op students who are planning on submitting their technical design experience for at least the technical component of the course. There's a rare occasion when we might have a one-person senior project. If there is, and you think you might qualify for one of those, you'll need to talk to us. But in general, everything needs to be a multi-person team. And what I'm going to try to do at the end of class is, if you're interested in a particular project, at least let you stand up and say what you're looking for partners in. I'm probably also going to activate a bulletin board in Blackboard so that basically we can organize as quickly as possible. I'm putting this on a fast track this year. Your first assignment is due next Wednesday. Your first assignment is, what is your senior project? Okay. Now, it doesn't sound like it's that bad, but let me tell you, that is the toughest thing of the whole semester, I think. This is where you have to come up with the title of the project, the members of your team, and then, and I'll explain it in detail later, anything you can tell us about it. The key thing right now is we want to get you going on a project, and we want to make sure that it's suitable for this class, because we've had occasions in the past where particular projects have had major problems, oftentimes not due to anything of your own control, things like getting access to proprietary information, things like getting hung up in contract negotiations with outside companies, things like simply not being able to get parts, or I still remember one of my favorites, which was one of my sets of students. We were actually using a brand new microcontroller, which was done by Siemens. It was extremely new, and we got prototype evaluations. Well, and we built a circuit, and I still remember spending like 30 or 40 hours in the laboratory with them with a logic analyzer trying to figure out why these instructions that we're executing weren't doing what they were supposed to. It turns out that it had a firmware error in the microprocessor. Okay, it simply didn't work the way the company said it did. So we've got to watch out for stuff that's too new. And, you know, don't think of us as your nemesis. We're actually here to try and help you. So we want to try and weed out any locate any problems as quickly as possible.
If I can add one thing. There have been a number of projects over the years that the students have chosen to work with the VA hospital. The projects themselves are absolutely first-class excellent to get involved with. But there's one major item that you need to know before you even decide that kind of thing is what you want to get into. There's a certain set of government protocol that you have to go through in order to gain access to the room or to the lab or to the anything over there. And too many times it took at least a half a semester for that to happen. So if you're going to choose that kind of a project, go into it with your eyes wide open and make sure that you've got an avenue of success. Otherwise, it's going to turn into a massive effort and frustration.
That's right. This should be a really, really fun course. And when I talk to the grading or talk about the grading in detail, everyone in here should get an A or a B. However, there will be exceptions, and I'll talk about how you can end up in one of those exceptions. We'd prefer that not to happen, but it does. I'll talk about the course requirements in a bit. This will actually be your first unofficial assignment, What is Design? And I've got a couple references here which you can go and read. And in particular, I actually think you should go take a look at primarily Chapter 2, What is Design, out of Hornstein. And by the way, let's hope that my access works. Yes, it does. Yeah, for those of you who have classes from me before, you know that I run an Apache server, and I use password access on pretty much anything. We've got a really, really simple access for everything. That's the account, and the password is Okay. Needless to say, I'm not being extremely clever here. I think that none of you will forget the word design as the password. And as far as I know, this is all lowercase. And since we're not that concerned about security, I'll remember my password on this machine. Don't worry, I don't use it for anything else. And all of this stuff will get you into PDF documents and stuff. I have 9 scanners, and I do a lot of image processing and document work. This actually just talks about what is design. And I have a whole collection of books on the history of design, what it is, but this is a good, simple, little explanation. And I highly encourage you to read this. It will give you a perspective, because some of you may do things which aren't may want to do things which are not design. One of the major issues is research. Research is typically not design in the sense that engineers in industry practice it. And this course is all about more of that industrial aspect, more of that entrepreneurial aspect, and not necessarily research. Now, if you want to do a research project, there are ways to make it look like a design project. And you can talk to us about that. Uh-oh, what's this stupid thing doing? Yes, it's really slow. I hope I didn't screw it up. Yeah. Okay, I'll make it a point not to go into any PDF documents anymore, I promise. Okay, let's see if I can get out of this. No. Oh, well. Oh, actually. Let's see if it's... No, that, I guess I'm going to have... Yeah, I wasn't getting any response on anything. What do you want me to click on?
Not on any of the buttons. Just on the next one.
Oh.
Yeah. Right click on it.
Nope. Sorry. I'm a little more used to Macs and Unix and X Windows and stuff like that. Yes. That sounds good. And I will make it a point not to attempt to do any more PDFs. But there are a huge number of PDFs there. Okay. Oh, let's just see if it'll pop back up. Oh, actually. There. Wasn't that bad. Okay. I've got a list of potential projects here. I'm going to spend a little time going through them, but let me go through the course requirements. First, we'll talk about that. This is where all the grading discussion comes up. And you're probably very interested in how things will be graded. There are going to be a number of assignments in here. These are indicated in the course lecture and deadline schedule. We're working on this a little bit. We've got basically every lecture in the semester plan. Stuff in colors represents deadlines for assignments that are due. And I'll talk about those in just a little bit. Let me talk about the general things that you're going to be doing. Okay? The first thing is that you're going to select something to work on. And by work on, I mean something that you will be designing. It might be a piece of software. It might be a piece of hardware. It might incorporate elements of both. You might be designing an experiment. You might be designing a product. There are many things that you can design. However, there are three things that we have noticed over the years that are the top reasons why you don't get an A or a B in this course. And the three are fairly simple. The first is you failed to develop a good project management plan. As we mentioned earlier, you cannot do everything at the last minute. If you put this off until even the 1st of November, you're probably in big trouble. And by the way, it will be obvious to everyone in the class that you're in trouble long before that. The second thing is, you can come up with a good plan and then just ignore it. That often happens. And then finally, and fairly important, you just simply don't put in the necessary work. This is a 4-credit course. We tend to have observed that if you put in less than 10 to 12 hours a week, you will not get an A or a B. If you put in 4 hours a week, you're probably just skirting with survival there. So it will take a lot of time, but if you follow the way we've organized the plan for the semester, the work at the end will not be horrendous. In fact, it's going to build so that everything that you've done along the way can be put into your final oral presentation and your final report. Okay? Now, to be successful in the amount of time we have allotted, and it may seem like 15 or 16 weeks is an eternity, I guarantee you it is not. We really need to do things as quickly as possible, and that's to get a project and a team together as soon as possible. And you can read all of this. Here's the most interesting thing, probably. This is still subject to some revision, because originally I wanted the course design to come out that 75% of your grade would be based upon technical design, and 25% of your grade would be based on what we're calling professional component. It means non-technical material, or I should say, material that's simply not related to the technical design directly. Now, this is sort of a list of the assignments. In order, the first thing's the project concept document. It's very funny because it's due next week, and you notice it doesn't count for anything towards your final grade. But if you don't have one, you're not going to remain in the course. So it's a very binary thing. Now, if you have trouble getting a project team together, getting a project will work with you. Okay? That's what we're here for. But if in the matter of 2-3 weeks we simply can't get anything together, there's no way that you'll be able to maintain the time frame to get a successful project out of this course. So we want to get you out of the gate fast. That is why I sent out the email 2 weeks ago or so, having you, or pointing out that you could look at these project suggestions, getting you thinking about them. And it seems to have worked. A number of you have talked to me about things. The first thing that will come up, the first major assignment, is your project proposal. We're going to be talking about this in more detail, but you'll need a title, you'll need a description of the project. This will have your first project management plan in it, and it will have as much technical information that you can give us. And by this, I mean the specifications of the final result. You know, if it's going to be a piece of software, what are the functional specifications? If it's going to be a piece of hardware, can you say something like it's supposed to measure something with an accuracy of 1%? But design is usually not open-ended. Engineers are usually doing something that's related to money. You know, you're going to produce a product which your company is going to sell. You know, typically you're not doing blue sky research. It's going to be very, very product oriented. And that usually means you've got to design to specification within a given time frame. So you're really designing within constraints. And for those of you who have taken, for example, some of our IC design courses, or better yet, some of the computer design courses, you start designing constraints of power, time, speed, and all of that kind of stuff. And that's what this course is all about, except in a bigger picture. Now, there's going to be a whole lot of other things. I'll give you just a highlight of them. Okay? We're going to have two oral status reports. This is actually the shape of things in government and industry right now. You will have two in-class oral presentations. Your team will have 8 minutes and 4 slides to explain your project. And by the way, this is much worse than industry. In industry, particularly if you're dealing with DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, you know, they might be funding multi-million dollar projects. At each review meeting, you are allowed 1 minute, 1 slide. So this is the way industry is starting to do it. You're going to do two of them, one in October, one in November. That will be followed up by a design review meeting. For those of you who may have worked with the government or the military industrial complex, we tend to think of these as lay down briefings. Okay? Basically, you're not going to have a projector, you're not going to have anything but yourselves, any printed material you bring in, and basically you're going to say, here's our project, here's where we're at in our management plan, here's what we've done, and here's where we anticipate going. And what are those, 30 minutes?
Yes.
30 minutes. So you'll have two of those, but notice it's after you do your oral presentations in class. So basically, it's going to be a follow-up on that, and we can get into the details that you couldn't get into in 8 minutes. Okay. The big thing is your interim technical report. That's the first really big assignment. That's your midterm report. Now, people sort of seem to shudder about writing reports and stuff. Hopefully you won't. We're going to give you examples and models that you can follow. And the report is not necessarily that long. Even for a team of 3 or 4 students, it might only be 10 or 15 pages at the most. So, you know, if you stop and think about it and you each share the writing, that isn't a major assignment. Now, there will be some other interesting things in here. Patent disclosure. Okay? One of the major things that you need to think about, especially if you work for a large company or the government, or even more importantly, if you're working on your own, a small company, what is intellectual property? What is a patent? For example, if you're at NASA, or actually, if you're at a number of different government organizations or large companies, sometimes your success at the company is based upon how many patents you file. You don't actually file the patent. That's done by an attorney. Okay? But what you do is you write something called a patent disclosure, in which you explain what's unique about what you've done. And you submit that to an attorney, who usually has a technical degree in addition to the law degree, and they actually write the patent. Okay, but we're going to just discuss what's a patent, what's a copyright. We're going to have you do some patent research. And what we're going to do, at least for most of you, is you will actually write a patent disclosure about your project. And we'll do it in standard, actually, university format. If any of you have anything, by the way, that's really good, you think you want the patent, first of all, anything you do in here, unless it's paid for by a sponsor, you own the intellectual property. However, if you want to take advantage of the university, you may formally submit your patent disclosure to the university. They will review it. If they like it, they'll pay the attorney's fees and submit. And they'll split any royalties from it 50-50 with you in the future. So you can do that. I've had a student in one of my classes do that. There will be an ethics paper. as was mentioned, this is becoming much, much more significant, especially if any aspect of government is involved. If you are involved at any point in giving contracts, awarding contracts, negotiating contracts, ethics you especially need to know about, but it appears everywhere. And I'm going to try and pick some examples which relate to things like co-op positions, first engineering positions. But the other thing which I'm going to bring in, and it's more and more important, is how information technology is affecting our roles more and more, and things like privacy, security. And for those of you who become consulting engineers, what is your responsibility to a client? Okay, so we're going to talk about all of those things, and hopefully the ethics is going to be a lot more interesting than you tend to think of ethics, because we're going to talk about it in real terms. And sure, we'll probably discuss Thiokol and the shuttle, but Bob, you were involved in the DC-10 cargo hatch. Okay, this was actually a big deal about planes failing and the company knowing about it.
Not my company.
Okay.
We didn't do it.
But you see, if you follow the paper, everyone points fingers at whose responsibility is it. We're going to be talking about that. There is a final oral presentation and a final report. Those are going to be the big assignments of the semester. And because of the way reading days are done this year, I think you may have noticed that we have the new schedule for finals with the 2 3-day weekends instead of the old schedule. Well, what we're going to do is we'll have your presentation first, and then we're going to have your final technical report due roughly midway during the final exam period. It's very bad this year because grades aren't due until December 23rd, if you look at the calendar. We're going to make your stuff due a little earlier. I forget the exact date. It might be the 15th, but that will show up on the calendar. There's an interesting item in here. Does your project work to specification? I'm of the very firm belief that if you're an engineer, but that you design products that don't work or you don't get them done in time, you're not going to be a successful engineer. Because the world wants stuff that works and on time. So you've missed the first major point of the course. And just if it works, think of this as your project demonstration. Now, we're not going to be tyrants on this, you know. If maybe you miss one specification out of 9, we think that works pretty doggone well, especially for a senior design team. So, but if it doesn't work at all, we're concerned. And that's at least one letter grade. And then there's one interesting little thing in here that I put asterisks on, and that's an engineering notebook or journal. And I don't know how many of you has been required to do that in jobs or courses before. This is something that's especially important for intellectual property control. It also turns out it's going to be important for grading in this course. The notebook is basically exactly what it says. You can think of it as a diary, a journal, a blog, whatever. Basically, it's a record of your day-to-day thoughts, meetings, pretty much anything and everything that you do. Some of you may have taken the 375 Autonomous Robotics course. You kept excellent notebooks in there. I'm not looking for that level in here. But for example, and I brought a couple notebooks along. Let's see if any of these are any good. They record, and by the way, this is an excellent notebook that meets the legal requirements for a notebook. You notice I said legal requirements. What's that mean? Was bound. It's sewn. That means that if, for example, I add a page, it's immediately obvious. And if I tear a page out, then I almost don't care. But one of the big things is, depending on what kind of company you're working at, you pull this book out, when you meet with your supervisor takes a look at it. Your supervisor initials it and dates it. This is important for tracking the starting date of a patent. When you come up with an idea, that's the important date for patents that we will be talking about. And by the way, these are pretty cheap. This is probably $1. Oh, this even says Walmart. Okay. Maybe under $1. Okay. But you can get these at any drugstore, etc. It is purely optional. They can be very sloppy. I brought along some of my own engineering notebooks, and I've glued stuff in. Occasionally, I've scribbled stuff out. I've just got tons of junk in here. Sometimes it falls out. But that's all we're looking for. It's purely optional, but if there is a dispute about your grade, that is the fallback authority. If there, and it does happen, sometimes we don't properly evaluate the amount of work that a member of a team did. We don't properly evaluate simply everything that you've done. If you've kept your notebook, we can look at it and we can tell right away, yep, you've done a lot more than what we thought. And this is particularly good when you might be having problems with just simply making a design work. So it might be technical problems. It might be contact problems. A common thing is just put in here, oh, things like, well, I tried to contact this person on this date. Or here's a, in fact, lots of times you'll staple in or glue in business cards or business addresses and stuff like that. And I don't know if you've been to seminars. As you come to the Department of Seminars, and hopefully you will, we're going to have some interesting ones. You'll see the guys from NASA or the companies. You probably saw a lot of these at NASA. They'll show up at the seminar, open their notebook, and take notes during the seminar. They record every thought and every idea. You don't need to do it in that detail, but this is a great fallback.
Let me add one thing to that. There is a great deal of sensitivity on our part, on the faculty's part as a whole, that when you have a team, everyone in that team is supposed to contribute to what the team is out after. The lab book, the notebook that Frank talked about, is a large part that will show whether or not individuals have participated the way the team is supposed to be set up. So if there's an issue that out of a team, let's say that there are three people that are participating on a given project, and that only one person in that team is really pulling the load, that's unfair to the team, and it's unfair to the person who's pulling the load, and those other two people that have not done what they should be doing should bear the animosity of a bad grade. So if there's one thing that does bring the ire of the faculty to bear here, is that everybody in a team needs to be doing what they said they were going to do at the beginning and participate 100%. We've had problems with this in the past. And as Frank alluded to, there have been issues at the end of the course, I deserve a better grade. Well, what comes out in that discussion is that the team itself may have done very well in the progress of the task at hand. But the individual that thought they should get a better grade was one that didn't pull their load. And that's what comes out at the very end. We want to protect against that as best we can. We will discuss the team's activity individually during the semester. We're not going to wait until the end. But an entry in that notebook is not only good for what Frank described, it's also good for your own sense of presentation that I did what I was supposed to be doing without creating any arguments. Okay?
And if nothing else, in 10 years you can go back, look at it, and sort of laugh at what you did in senior project. Okay. Well, let's move on here. And we may revise this breakdown a little bit, but most of your assignments will have both a technical design component and a professional component. And we have more details on each of these. As you go down, the details become less and less because we are working on revising the presentation and design report information right now. But for example, for the project concept, we've got sort of a fairly good description. Start out with a good informative title. For example, a narrowband FM receiver for the 250 megahertz band. That's pretty good. To a technical person, that pretty much explains what it's all about. It doesn't need to be, you know, three lines long. We want to know who the project team is. And one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is that there will typically be a team leader. This is the person that the team should agree upon that's responsible for making sure that the assignment gets turned in. This is the person who may or may not be responsible for collecting the stuff that each team member has written or put together. And maybe, you know, it might be that, for example, when you do one of those four-slide PowerPoint presentations, each person does one slide. You submit it. One person, though, has to put it all together in one single PowerPoint document. That will be the person that may have responsibility for scheduling meetings and all kinds of other things. Now, we recognize that that's an additional amount of work, and we will take that into consideration in the grading. Now, what's worked out very, very well in the past, since that's sort of a little extra burden that might be unfair if you did it for the whole semester, it's really very, very good if you rotate it among yourselves. So, for example, if you have three team members, you know, one person does it for a month, another person for the next month, another person for the final month. So something like that is actually really good, and you can put that into your project plan.
Participating as a team leader does not relieve that individual or actually doing work at the technical part. Don't pull that game.
And by the way, when you do things like your reports and stuff, we're going to ask that the author of each section be identified. So we're going to be tracking who's doing what. A technical advisor. Now, I didn't put that required at this point because you may not particularly, if it's a project from industry or if it's a project that you have come up with, that you are proposing, then it may not have a technical advisor yet. But every project will eventually have to have a known technical advisor. You will meet with this person on a regular basis, and basically, this is whom you're going to go to for answers to technical questions about your project. Usually it's your project sponsor, but especially for projects that you're proposing, we ask that you have a faculty advisor or a staff advisor that is your resource. Come to us if you need one and can't find one. Project objectives. What in the world are you going to do? And this can be, at this point in the concept document, because remember, this is next week, next Wednesday. Tell us as much as you can about the project. We're sort of almost expecting the shotgun approach on this, which is also why we're not going to grade it. We're going to look more for technical acceptability of the project. But if you can come up with any background for the project, any specifications, even a list of tasks that you think you're going to have to do, this is that would be great. Because the more information you can get here, you're going to use this in writing your real, formal project proposal, which is going to be due a couple weeks after this. This is to get you focused on one project really quickly. Anything to say?
No.
Okay. And I think we're probably in good shape on that. I think at this point I won't get into the details of the proposal, but I want to get into the schedule. Okay, we've got a pretty detailed schedule. Okay, and by the way, we've got a bunch of, I don't know why it's doing that first indent in here. Never did that on my browsers. But we've got a whole bunch of outside speakers coming in. The first one will actually be on Wednesday. We're going to have Brian Gray come in from the library, and he's going to tell us how you actually do research. It turns out and by that I mean library research. It turns out you've actually got a huge number of resources available to you. You've got IEEE and ACM databases. You've got basically every publication in related technical fields available to you that you can download. You can cite them as references in your proposals, in your technical reports, anywhere. OhioLINK is really good because I've actually even done things like gone on OhioLINK and borrowed technical specifications, technical reports, and stuff like that, like from Wright-Patterson, from various of the libraries around the state. Ohio State has a great collection. And I've even found some of the technical magazines I was searching for in little colleges in Ohio that I never would have looked for. And you can basically online request them, and they'll get delivered to the library for you. So he's going to tell us about all of that. Dan will be coming in later. Some of you may know him. He was an undergraduate. He's now going to be a graduate student. He's been spending the last year learning how to transform something that you might do in this course into an actual product for manufacturing. So he'll talk about things like, how do you deal with injection molded plastic enclosures for your design? How do you design printed circuit boards for low-cost manufacturing? How do you, basically, there's a whole lot of things that go into taking a project to the level you finish with it in here and then turning it into a real marketable product. And he'll go over some of the considerations. Marigani, chair of our department, will come in and talk to us about entrepreneurship. He's been responsible for setting up multiple companies, has made multiple millions selling those companies. And if some of you want to go out and duplicate that, I highly encourage you to do so. I'd like to see at least one millionaire come out of this class. Maybe not by December, but but I'd really like to see that. We're going to have Nick Ferlini, who's our University Vice President for Technology, come in. One of his specialties, and he was heavily involved in software startups at Carnegie Mellon, actually just in Pittsburgh, and came here, and he's going to talk about intellectual property, technology transfer, IP. You're going to see IP, it's a major buzzword these days, in engineering management. We're going to have Steve Belovich come in and talk about how do you actually sell a product? How do you market it? How do you take some of the things that you've come up with in here and turn them into products and companies? And along those lines, I don't know if any of you know OWeb Technologies. It was interesting. I was reading a newspaper at my parents' house over the summer, not in Cleveland. There was an Associated Press release on this company. And they had a newspaper article. What they do is they do basically web page design or interface design for wireless PDAs. And they're located out in Beechwood, three undergraduates, a CS major, a management major, and I have no idea why, a mechanical major. Okay, for a software company. So I'm not quite sure, but they're going to tell us about some of their adventures. This one is really, really interesting. This is a local company out in Mentor. Let's see if the click works. Okay, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And irregardless of what anyone told you, these are the people who funded the internet development. These are the people who funded the computer. These are the people who fund everything that's, really high-tech in the military. Okay? And it turns out, and probably some of you have read about this, you're supposed to travel. You're supposed to design a vehicle which will drive autonomously between two points in the Nevada desert that are 70 miles apart. This is the grand challenge. The winner gets a $2 million prize. You don't get paid anything. You have to enter on your own, do everything on your own. Major companies typically are participating. Lockheed Martin, companies like that. Carnegie Mellon has two teams in there. What's really funny is these are three guys out in Mentor. They're doing this in their garage. They have an Isuzu SUV, which they've been modified with stuff that they've got donated or they've got an industrial surplus. great engineering. You have Brian, who is an industrial engineer. He's been doing machine vision, industrial sensors, so that he's the guy responsible for instrumenting the vehicle. They've got a manager. He does everything else. And then here's probably the most important person of all. They have an electrician that's really showing them how to wire everything. They can't come out until probably middle to end of October because the competition is going on right now. They're in the semifinals. They've beaten out MIT, Princeton, and a lot of other teams already. It's coming down to the major defense companies, Carnegie Mellon, stuff like that. But they're going to talk about don't over-engineer. Engineer to get the job done. So we're going to have some interesting speakers. And I've got a couple more that I'm working on. Couple things. First thing is your concept is due next Wednesday. We may have a modification of how you will submit it, but for the moment, it should be emailed from the team leader to both of us. Okay? We may have to, we're not sure, end up eventually using Blackboard. I'm being forced into that. But we'll see. Maybe I'll just set up a Dropbox someplace in one of my X servers or something. Once that is in, we're going to start talking about teaming. We want to give you some background about management and stuff, how you write a management plan, stuff that's going to go into your project proposal before you actually have to turn the proposal in. Okay, so we want to teach you what you need to do before you do it. And some of the stuff is really fun. Some of the best examples of teamwork, especially teamwork under stress, okay, is NASA and some of the Apollo missions. Just spectacular. This I'm going to tentatively schedule for the 14th. How many of you have heard of brainstorming? Okay. How many of you didn't co-op? Oh, okay. Oh, no. How many of you have heard of brainstorming and didn't co-op? I didn't get my Boolean right. Okay. Believe it or not, leave it to industry. They've got very formal ways of basically coming up with ideas. How do you actually design something? And they'll have meetings. They'll get you in a room. They'll have something called a recorder and a gatekeeper. You will have the, I know, it almost sounds like a Dungeons & Dragons game or something. You'll have, your easels with the pads. And what you're going to do is basically brainstorm. You're going to come up with some of the wackiest ideas, and you're going to talk about them as a team and basically rank order them. And believe it or not, at that point, what's often done is they'll take those tear-off sheets, photo-reduce them, and that's their report on that. We're not going to let you get away that easily. But this might be a great way for you to figure out how you're going to do your project individually. And I'd like to do actually an in-class example of brainstorming. And now that I know some people in here have been through it, we may have you be the gatekeeper and the recorder. The gatekeeper actually controls who gets to talk next. The recorder simply writes the bullets on the easels. So it's not that hard. But it's interesting. Sometimes I think it's something that's best done over food or drink. Okay. Your technical proposal. Notice it's not due until September 19th. We want to know what you're going to work on, but we don't need all the details until about 3 weeks from now. Those are probably the major dates right now, with the exception of the co-op students. Final technical report due September 21st, unless you have made arrangements in advance, because I know that there are issues with co-op projects. You've got to get approval of your management, etc. So if there are issues, if there are reasons to delay it, we'll delay it. Don't worry. Your first oral status reports. These are the 8-minute four PowerPoint slide presentations. We'll begin basically the 1st of October. After you do your orals in class, and everyone will get a chance to see what everyone else is doing, then we will have the individual design review meetings. That's where you'll sit down with us, and we'll go through the details of your management plan with you. And then we're going to start a bunch of other things. Notice practically in the middle of October, your first, actually, your only midterm technical report. And then we're going to go into the second round of oral status reports in class, design reports, and then you finally come up at the end, all of the final things being due. There's an ethics assignment. I've wrestled with the date, and I put it so late, maybe I shouldn't have, because I thought you really wouldn't want to have it due around Thanksgiving. So this will give you simply a little bit more time off. And then you've got your final oral presentations, the 5th through the 7th. 5th and the 7th are the last day of classes. And you will be giving your presentations in the department conference room. And then the final technical report is due the 14th of December. And if at any point throughout the semester there is a valid reason why a particular team can't meet a particular deadline, come and talk to us. It may be negotiable. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but it may be. Now, what I'd like to do really quickly is talk about some of the potential projects. We've got a lot of projects if you haven't looked at them, and I'm going to talk about some which aren't on here. E-Parcel, this is a software project for Professor Libertor. Basically, it's nothing more than some interactive software that will control the delivery of large attachments. Basically, you will have the option of accepting or refusing to accept a large attachment at that point in time. I won't say that this would be particular for things like digital movies or anything like that, but it could be pretty much anything, even though he talks about video. It turns out that Professor Libertor also has a really cool other project, which is not listed on here. He's very, very much into synchronization of computers over the network. So is Professor Branicky. And they've actually, over the summer, produced some public domain software on synchronizing computers using software phase lock loops, which can go out in the Linux distribution. We want to synchronize computers so that we can basically develop control algorithms that operate over the internet, things that have known response times. And what he'd like to do is have a laser beam that goes out through the atmosphere that is transmitting digital information, and there will be a receiver at the other end. For those of you who are familiar with high-density areas like San Francisco Bay and stuff like that, you can't get any more wireless saturation. It turns out that optical stuff, though, is great. It's free space. You don't need a license. It's super directional, very high density, and it's very, very difficult for anyone to tap into. Okay, so it's high security. But it turns out as the laser beam goes through the atmosphere, there's turbulence. It turns out as the sun comes up in the morning and goes down at night, the building actually tilts. All of these things act to move the laser beam around. So he wants to have the receiver monitoring the signal, communicating back by internet to the transmitter, and it would actually be then digitally controlling through the internet the direction of the laser beam. So that's not on here, but that's another project. He offered it last year, but no one picked it up. A golf cart controller. And you ought to make sure that you get a couple golf games out of this particular project if you're interested. This is actually designed by an alum, Case EE, I think like class of 1955 or so. He's got a golf cart controller. It weighs too much. It doesn't do some things properly. Basically, it's to do a complete redesign of a golf cart controller. See Professor Newman. This one's interesting. Cryogenic waveguide actuator design. How do you design something that's mechanical that's going to operate in liquid helium? And this is actually for a physics experiment at the South Pole. I don't know if you want to try and negotiate a trip to the South Pole out of that one, but we have had people in the department who have worked at the South Pole before, mostly graduate students. Okay. Other projects. Cell phone medical monitor. This is something that Professor Cavusoglu and I are interested in. Some of these cell phones these days use our real-time Linux kernels. What we're very interested in is designing a cell phone, or actually rewriting the software, so that we can control medical instruments through this interface. And we could either have it be in the mode of monitoring. In other words, say a nurse dials in, and you can put your arm in a loop, or you can do different things interactively. You've got the phones now with video. Basically, a nurse at a remote site or a doctor can carry you through a complete medical examination. You've probably seen this done with computers in the news, but more people have cell phones than they have computers. And so this is an issue of addressing the so-called digital divide as well. This one, you'd probably not build a complete system. The first thing would probably be a software design. This, we were talking about the VA hospital. Rehabilitative robotics, computer games, and more. Some of the things that have been very, very successful in the past here is they're dealing with, this is the Veterans Administration Hospital, they're dealing with soldiers, which may have problems after losing a limb or being wounded or something.
A stroke, yeah.
All kinds of things. And one of the interesting things is to have them basically do video games. For example, they might have to operate a joystick, which they have to track and follow a moving object on the screen. You know, right now, if you've ever talked to anyone who's been in physical therapy, it's awful boring. You know, stretch, move. And you just do this over and over. Whereas if you can get more excited about, you know, tracking something, you get a score, maybe you even get a reward at the end. You know, just like video games, that's the kind of stuff that they're doing. There's human-computer interface. There's robot programming. Actually, one of our teams last year, I believe it was, developed a little gadget which measures the dilation of the eye. So there's all kinds of cool things that they're doing. This is an interesting one. This is proposed by an engineer. Okay, and it turns out, if you haven't guessed, he's got a Model T. It turns out, I never knew this, that they're producing low and high frequency AC to basically operate this Model T. It turns out it's extremely complicated to keep everything adjusted for it to operate. And what they want to do is develop a computer control, basically a USB interface device that from your laptop you can basically tune up your Model T. And by the way, this guy, is he an electrical engineer?
He's actually a manager of the computer development department.
Yes, but I can't remember what his degree is, if it's electrical or computer, but he's an engineer. So he speaks all the lingo. He's done this before. And this is something that he wrote. He wants to measure all kinds of things. And by the way, for those of you who are working on the formula SAE or anything, this is very, very similar. I will point out, it's not listed here, but we've got a whole bunch of potential projects for the formula SAE vehicle. Anyone interested there, contact Dan Hatt. He was suggesting that he had 7 projects, potentially. I know that last year they designed a couple computer boards with accelerometers and flash drive interfaces and stuff, and they collected data as the vehicle would run, and basically they want to optimize the performance of the vehicle given collected data. So that's another project. This one is from Professor Garverick and Dan Howe. This one's more on the software side. They have a project, which I usually just call the electronic bandage project. And what they want to do is collect information using an PDA, and have a database on the PDA. This is a research project, and who knows, there might even be the opportunity to publish a paper out of it. There's a whole bunch of projects from Professor Malacuti. He is in charge of a big project that's working with surface area and wireless networks for basically bases on the moon, Mars. What we're very, very interested in is if you have a couple robots running around, astronauts, data instrumentation packages, and maybe a couple satellites flashing by overhead, developing new internet protocols that will be able to dynamically guarantee, quality of service under highly varying conditions. And there's a little bit of AI in here. There's computer networks in here. So a lot of really good projects. If you are a hardware person, here is a real challenge. This is one of my former graduate students. He's working for a relatively high-tech company that's just located at Rockside and 77 here in town. And this is only one of the projects that he wants to do. Very, very hardware, very, very much firmware. Okay, this is a project I've had students working on for a number of years, a water level sensor. We want to basically determine the level of water that is visible in a glass tube, like you would find on a commercial boiler or furnace. And you have to do it non-invasively, which means you can't drill anything. All you can do is have something which clamps on. And this has had two semesters worth of work done on it. It's never been totally integrated into a complete system. The old stuff where I refer to the TAPS protocol for sending messages over cell phones is pretty old. We probably want to go to an IM protocol or something else. And it's not clear that capacitive sensing is the best way to detect water level. Although we've tried optical, and it doesn't work worth a darn. Okay. Here's an interesting one. For target practice, it turns out that if you're involved in competition shooting, they have these targets that pop up. They're computer controlled. They have a wireless network, and so they have motors which pop them up. Okay, and they're usually of some kind of very strong polymer that heals when you shoot a bullet through it. The problem is you want to detect that these have actually been hit. So how do you sense, and this could be a variety of accelerometer, signal processing, or whatever, how do you detect that a bullet actually went through that plastic? Basically, there's going to be usually a jerk. How do you detect a jerk? Okay. So that one's a sensors project. And here's a last database project, ADSO the Librarian. This is with a small local company, but basically it's for a database software for all kinds of stuff that's used in medical applications. And hopefully they'd like to turn it into a commercial product. I think that hits most of the projects, and remember the one that I did mention, for the formula SAE with Dan Howe. I'll see if I can get him here to class next time. And I think at that point, there's 6 minutes left. I'm going to use every moment of every class. You're paying for it, so you're going to get your money's worth. Okay. This now is your time for Q&A. Anything you want to ask us, or if you're interested in a particular project and you're looking for partners, you want to stand up and say, I'm interested like in the Model T. I need some partners. If you're interested, see me. So, any questions? Anyone looking for partners on a particular project? Or you're all just burnt out? Yes? Say that again? Yes. 8 credits in one. Remember, computer engineers are only required to do 1 semester senior project. Systems and electrical engineers are required to do 2 semesters, 8 credits. By the way, the success rate for people trying to do 8 credits in one semester is under 5%. We've actually done it a lot. We tried it a lot in the 90s, and the failure rate is extremely high. So unless you can come up with a really good plan for pulling it off, we don't usually allow it. But we do have one person doing it this semester. Except one of the semesters is already done. Just has to write it up. But it's very, very difficult to. But if you want to come back and take another semester of senior project, that's great. And by the way, comp sci majors can take it as a tech elective. I think we have one comp sci in here, if I remember right from the class list. We also have, I believe, one education major in here, which I think will be really, really interesting. I'll be looking for you to critique what we're doing in here. Okay.
I'd like to encourage teams of 3 as opposed to 2 and no for 0, no, none for just 1. Mainly because 3 is manageable, number 1. 3 is usual. Maybe for larger companies it gets a lot bigger, but usually you're going to be working with a couple of other people. So we'd like to have you experience at least a couple of people beside yourself.
And you can never have a tie vote if it's 3.
The other side of that is you get up to 4 and 5, you need to talk to us because the project needs to have enough content warranting 4 or 5. Okay?
Remember, that general rule, 12 hours a week per person. So if you have a 5-person project, we want to know what 60 hours a week you're going to be producing.
Right.
Or what you're going to be producing for 60 hours a week. So think about that. No other questions? Yes?
Can I do a quick IEEE announcement?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm a big fan.
We're having the barbecue this Friday outside Olin from 12 to 1 p.m. So if anybody wants to help with that, let me know, and everybody please come down. Also, we are going to have our first general meeting next Thursday, same time, I believe, in the conference room in Glennon.
Yes. I forget where it is, but I reserved the room for you guys.
Okay. Same time, 12 to 1, next Thursday. We'll also be doing officer nominations to get elected to Olin. So.
By the way, being an officer of IEEE looks great in that resume. Belonging to IEEE is a really, really good thing. And the nature of engineering is changing these days. IEEE is sort of a great way to find out about what's going on. It also turns out that you don't need to worry about it right now. You can get all kinds of very, very good deals through IEEE as a member. You can even get automobile insurance, home insurance, life insurance, professional liability insurance.
Probably the most important one, though, for a lot of people's health insurance.
They have all kinds. So, and it's group plans, which means you can get good deals. I'm also going to put some references to other, not so much organizations, although I'm also a big fan of the NSPE, National Society of Professional Engineers, of which I am one. I'll talk about what that means later on. I'm going to put up a link for stuff like this. This is EE Times, which is one of the professional trade magazines, and you can get easily a electronic subscription of it. But, for example, here are some of the things in this month's issue which are very important to you as graduating engineers. Outsourcing rewrites job descriptions. You know, one of the things you're going to have to think about is, are your jobs going to be outsourced within the next 10 years or less? In terms of career goals, do you want to position yourself so you will not be outsourced? Or maybe you do want to be outsourced. I don't know if you like travel. Something which you won't pay attention to while you're here, but that's a life beyond classes and your work here. And so there's a whole section of family, fun, and deadlines, followed by work, heart, and wonder. So, you're going to be graduating eventually. You know, that may seem hard to believe. But you're going to have things to do other than your job. You're going to have to worry about things like health care. I'm working right now and trying to find a person who can come in and talk about portable retirement benefits, 401 plans, company benefit plans, and things to look for in your first job. Although I haven't found a good person there yet. We'll see. I've got two financial managers, and I don't think either of them could do it. But we'll see. And if there's something that you'd like to hear about, let me know, because I've got a lot of contacts, and we can try and get another speaker. We've got more. But this is about more than just the technical part, and that's why I particularly like Aslami's book, which was about senior project experience, design your life. And there is life beyond senior project. But hopefully it's good preparation for you. Okay. Wednesday, we're going to have the library here, and they'll tell you how to use the resources, download papers, get books, get technical resources, everything else. And I will be in the office this afternoon, as well as tomorrow and Wednesday.
Question.
Third floor one. In fact, there's going to be a whole new lounge in there, which you will need.